Okay. The Shabbos, as Hashem, we read the Parsha Shoftim, the sheet there for anyone who wants. Let's begin by saying that the Shir tonight is sponsored by Rabbi and Mrs. Blackstein, in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Rabbi Blackstein's father, Reuven Rabbi Saul the Shalom, whose yahrzeit is in a couple of days on Yud Elul, right?
Yeah.
Shalom and Aleichem. I just want to begin by noting that this year is going to be a little bit different in two ways from our usual Thursday night shiur. The usual Thursday night shiur we have here. First way I mention now, and the second one I'll mention when we get to it. First way is that the topic of the shiur, the minhag to recite David Hashem Ori during the Yom Ha'Orim season, is not really connected directly at all to the Seder of Parsha Shoftim. But it is somewhat connected, or in terms of a very general way it's connected, so I'll begin with that. By pointing out as follows, we have a pasuk in this week's Seder in Shoftim, and part Yud Tes, the Dvarim pasuk Yud Dalad, which says, in source 1, Lo Sasig Gvul Reacha Asher Govlu Rishonim, you should not encroach upon the boundaries of your neighbor, your friend, which the previous people have set up, a boundary border between your field and my field and so on, property lines and so on. The land which you inherit and inherit Yisrael, the land which Hashem has given you. And the basic idea is you're not allowed to take away someone else's property. Let's say there's no fence in between, but they have some other markers. You'll move the markers. That's what Rashi says in the second source, Parakat Tespos Gadal Rashi. Losasi Gvul, Loshon Losogu Achor, the word Losasi comes from, Shemachzi really means going backwards. Shemachzi Simon Chaluka Sakakala Achor, Latoch Zechaveru, Leman Harchiv Esero. Let's say I have a field, and there's some plants or whatever in the way that separate my field from your field. So when you're not looking, I push the plants a little bit backwards into your field, so now my field is bigger. Okay, that's exactly what's awesome. Now, the truth is, I remember when, one time in the 1970s, I visited the Golan Heights, and it was not that long, a few years after the Yom Kippur War. And we were in a city in the Golan Heights, and so after, you know, they conquered areas of the Golan Heights, and, you know, the Kippur War, they expanded, and they gave back, whatever. But, you know, right when the war ended, the person was telling us when they founded the city up there, far in the Golan Heights in 67, right after the war. So they didn't have right away a fence between them and Syria, because the war just ended. So what they did was they put these barrels, these bins, okay, with a flag or something like that sticking up, every, I don't know, 25 yards, 50, whatever it was, and that was the border. And then later on, the UN or whatever, they made a fence. But in the meanwhile, there was just every few yards, there were these barrels. So the guys told us that at night, when nobody was looking, so the Jews, they went out and they pushed the barrels further into Syria. You know, so by the time the UN or whatever this came to build a fence, they just followed what was there. So every night they added a few extra, whatever. Anyway, that's to say, you're not allowed to do that with regards to another person's field. Now, the truth is, Rashi if. I mean, that's stealing. What do you need a special of? You're not allowed to steal someone else's land. You're not allowed to steal anything from anybody else. So what do you need a special? Of course, it's stealing someone else's property. So Rashi explains, Lavo Shaobar Bishne Lavin. You violate two Lavin. That's at least in Eretz Yisrael, because the Pasuk says in Eretz Yisrael, Chutzlaretz, if you do it, it's a stealing. Just, not supposed to steal either. Here are two Lavin. Okay, so that's the Yisr as it appears in the Torah. Some of you may know that Yisr of Hasogas Gevul, encroaching on the property of somebody else, is extended not only to taking his field or his property, but also encroaching on somebody else's livelihood. And that's a big discussion. Let's say I open up a store to compete with you right next door. There's a pizza shop over here. You have a pizza shop, so I open a pizza shop right next door. You have a shoe store, I open a shoe store right next door. And it's not enough, it's not a big enough community to sustain, to support both people. So that's the issue of Hasogas Gevul. That's an expansion. However, the tour in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Shin Samaches, Source 3, has a very interesting limud in the name of Rav Shira Gaon, an auxiliary, another interpretation of this phrase, which will of this pasuk, which will relate to what we're talking about tonight. Look what he says, Choshen Mishpat, Simen Shin Samaches, Shela Rav Shira Gaon. This is the whole presentation of Rav Shira Gaon, of course, one of the Gaonim, the earlier authorities. Towards the end, the very end, he writes, the Torah writes, Chayav Kol Adam Levilti Shnos Min Hagam. A person should not change the customs, the minig, which you had from before. Damrinon, because we say, minolon de minhaga milsa. How do we know that a minig counts as, or substantial counts as something? Minig means something we do as a custom. It's not from the Torah. It's not even imposed by the rabbi. It's just a custom. How do we know that a custom is of substance, something that counts? Minhaga minolon de minhaga milsa. Shenemar, guess what? This pasuk. Al tasik glu reacha asher gov lu rishonim. Don't tamper with the boundaries, the borders, the guidelines, which have been established by those who came before you, but rather you should observe them. Okay? The kosher came with those sheshva takana gadol, certainly they instituted the law and so on, vasaris meriva, to keep people from fighting, lefichach, asu kemin hachem, below tishanu, follow your custom and don't change it. And again, Shalom ends, you know, greeting and peace. In other words, from Shurgon derived, again, al derech ha-Jewish, but you derive from this pasuk that you're not supposed to tamper with minhagim that were customs that were established those that came before you. Now, that's a big, big subject. Spend a lot of time on that subject, but they swarm on that subject. But for now, we find at least a hint in our parasha, according to what the Torah quotes from Shurgon, that it's important to maintain the minhagim, the customs that were established before us, and not to tamper with them. There's in Mishle, Parakov Beis, Parakov Beis, Pasuk Chav Ches, Source 4, has a pasuk that sounds very similar to our pasuk in the Torah. There it says, Al Taseg Gvul Olam Asher Asu Avosecha. Right? Don't encroach, or don't change the boundaries which your ancestors set up. And Rashi says there in Mishlei, Parakov Beis, Pasuk Chav Ches 5, Al Taseg Achor, Minag Avosecha. Don't go away, don't turn back from the customs established by your ancestors. Right, so that's the Rashi in the pasuk in Mishlei, which is very similar language to the pasuk in Chumash. And the Medrash Mishlei, that's why Rashi got it from the Medrash, and that pasuk in Mishlei, Parashat Chav Beis and Chav Ches, right? Chav Beis, Chav Ches, Source 6. The Medrash says, right? Amar B'Shem, that pasuk, Al Tasek Bul Olam, Amar B'Shem Ben Yochai, Minag Sha'asu Avosecha Al Tishanel. So, a custom your parents, your father's grandfather, your forebears observed, don't change. You go now, Avraham Shetikin Tulos HaShachris, Yitzhak Tikin Tulos Minchi, Yaakov Tikin Tulos Arvis. The guy think, okay, they established Tulos, I can establish my own Tulos also, I'll make up a new one myself. Right? No, don't do that. Asha'asu Avosecha, Ma'as Avosecha, follow what they did. Okay, the things that they established in Doris. So that's another pasuk telling us the significance of customs that we're supposed to observe, the customs of the established by people came before us. Yeah.
But they're getting that from the fact that
it's just happening. The people came before. Again, it's a drasha. I mean, clearly not what the pasuk's talking about. But again, Rosh Hashanah quotes this, and the Torah brings it down. And as I said, similar to the pasuk in Mishlei, which also understood that way. Also v'secho. Another pasuk in Mishlei, Parakov Gimel, pasuk Chav Bei, 7. Shmal avicha ze yeladecha va'al tavuz ki zokno imecha. Listen to your father and don't bevaze, don't dismiss, don't disparage that which your elder mother, what does it mean, the mother who's elder. So Rashi, that pasuk is quoted by Mishnah Brachas, Nun Dal Amar Aleph. And Rashi there in Brachas explains the pasuk, 8. Va'omer al tavuz ki zokno imecha. Imecha here doesn't mean mother, but rather umecha. Lemod mi divrei ziknei umascha. Learn from the elders of your nation. That's how it means. Darshan is a pasuk. Rashi in Brachas explain that pasuk. Learn from the practices of the elders of your nation. Lasos mashara isa shosohem. You see how they behave? You do what they do. Follow their practices. Okay? And the Malbim. And that pasuk in Mishlei Parakov Gimel pasuk on Beis 9, right? Shema Avicha Zielacha Mitzaveu Sheyishma V'Yekabel Chuke HaChochma Me'Aviv. You should accept the wisdom of your parents. V'Al Yistapek V'Kabalos Shishanchos Odiver Sheker. Don't think what they're telling me is not true. Okay, Acher Shezielacha, because what does it mean? Because you're their child. The Ein of Manchel Sheker Labanov. A parent doesn't transmit falsehood to his children. Okay. V'chein b'kabelcha darke ha-minhagim me'imecha. Here, Avinei means parents. Accepting the practice of your parents. Al tavoz, don't belittle them mitzad she'zokna imecha, because your mother, your parents are older. Look what he says. V'tachshov she'ha-minhagim ha-eila hu-tov l'dor rishon. But lo l'dor ha-chadash. You shouldn't say, these customs, that was good for the olden days. That was good for the old generation. It's a new time. Different times have changed. Malbim, was very actively fighting against the reform. All right, so that's maybe what he's driving at here, too. This pasuk means don't dismiss these minhagim. That was the Altaheim. That's what used to do it, But now we're more modern people. We have to keep these old traditions and old customs and so on. But you see, they keep talking about minhagim. We're not talking about things that are in the Torah. We're not even talking about things imposed by the Rabbanan. But even in the realm of minhagim. Okay, shame tov was kain below the arm. Don't say these are good for the old people, but we young folks, no. Shereshich is a type of arm. We have other types, other desires, and so on. So that's how the Malbim learns it also. And then, of course, there's a famous pasuk in Mishlei, most famous of this group, Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches. Shema bini Musar Avicha, ve'al titos Torah Simecha. accept the teachings of your father, don't reject the Torah of your mother, and so on. So the Gemara in Pesachim on Nun Amud Beis tells an interesting story, which they derive a halacha from this pasuk. The Gemara says, "Bnei Beishan, the people of Beishan." That's a question. Some say it means the city Beishan. You know, the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, not far from Tiberia, city called Beishan. So it might be called Bnei Beishan in that city, or it means from a certain family, whatever exactly it means. No, Galo Havazlinan Mitzur Litzidon B'Malei Shabbatim. They wouldn't travel, okay, to this from Tzur, from Tyre to Sidon, two cities, on Erev Shabbos, was found in the market day in those places, as Rashi says in Tzur 12, Pesach on the Nunavay, is Mitzur Litzidon Yom Ashuk, Shal Sidon Erev Shabbos. They machmiro al Atzman, Shal Eboto Mitzorche Shabbos. They didn't go to do business in those towns because they want, even though the market day was Friday, because they wanted to devote Friday to preparing for Shabbos. They didn't go to work, in other words. They didn't go to business to do trade on those days. All right? And so, continues the Gemara. Also, B'nai Ulekamid Abnochon, the next generation, came for Rabbi Yochanan, and they said, listen, Avosin Efshar, our parents were able to keep that tradition, not go to work on Fridays or have a shorter day, not travel far on Fridays to be able to prepare for Shabbos. But on Amal Efshar, we can't do it. Rashi says, have Efshar Limanam and Ashuk, they were wealthier, so they could afford to have a day, one less day of work, and I don't have money anyway. But we can't. So Amar Lahu, Yochanan said, listen, Kvar Kiblu Avosecham Aleihem. Your answer, I don't think it means they were so poor they couldn't afford it. Just, you know, your ancestors accepted it. You have to keep it too. Shenemar Shema Bnei Musar Michal Tito Starts in Echo, right? And then your ancestors, your parents did it. You have to observe this minute also, even though it may create there's a certain hardship for you. We have the Ha'aras in Source 13. Ha'aras Hagaram Yosef Shalom El Yashiv, Rav El Yashiv from Yerushalayim, who was a postdoc Eretz Yisrael, died a few years back. They printed his Ha'aras. His Ha'aras on that Gemara Pesachim, the next op, Nun Aleph and Aleph, right? The Gam Yochid, he says, Gam Yochid Shekiva Lazman Hoga Tova. A person who accepted upon himself, not a din, Han Hoga Tova, a nice practice, a good Han Hoga, a nice minig. Okay, Harezim Mechai Vizaro, Doxival Tito Sars Mechel, the children should also keep it. I think he says, okay, not every child has to observe every minig that the father and the mother did. Okay, but still, we see from the B'nai Baishan, he said, that's the purpose of the story. When possible, it's proper not to change the minhag your parents accepted. Now we have another pasuk in our seder this week here in Shoftim 14. Devarim Parak Yud Zayin Pasuk Yud Aleph. Al pi haTorah she'aruchu al mishpat she'yom lecha ta'aseh. You should do in accordance with the Torah which the Bezin teaches you and so on, and their rulings you should follow. And then the famous lo soser min adavar she'yiruchu min ismol. Don't veer from the path which they set for you either to the right or to the left. I say it usually about ways. Well, Sussman, don't go to the left or right. Whatever they tell you, that's what you do. You'll get to your destination beating the traffic. All right, but that's the point. Don't veer from the path, either left or right. Now, the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim in 15, Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph writes, it's the job of the Bezin Yerushalayim to maintain and the keepers, so to speak, of Torah Shabbat Peh. They Amudei HaHorah. They are the pillars of Psak HaLacha and so on. Umehem Choku Mishpat Yotzeh L'Chai Yisrael. They're the ones who paskin all of Chai Yisrael. And that's what the Torah is told. They say, Al Pi HaTorah Sheyaruchah, Zu Mitzvah Saseh. It is the Mitzvah Saseh on the rest of us to abide by their decisions and so on. Anyone who accepts Moshe Rabbeinu has to understand, and his Torah has to understand, we have to follow our religion in accordance with what they say. Halacha Beis, the Rambam says the other side. Kol Misha Eino Sakorosa over below Saseh. Whoever disregards, this is Hilchos Mamrim Parakat of Halacha Beis, whoever disregards what the Bezdin Yerushalayim and the Sanhedrin rules and so on, you violate Lo Saseh. Shemar Lo Saseh. Mikol Asher Adover Sheikiruch. Yom Nitzmol. Now he says you don't get Malkus technically, but anyway, what type of dinam are we talking about? Ech says the Rambam, Echad Dvarim Shalom Dorsum Piashmua, Veim Tarshua Peh. Whether they make this ruling based on their understanding of the oral tradition, or Echad Dvarim Shalindum Pidaitam, Alumdum Pidaitam Achas Minamida Saturn's Veshma, or they learn it out from the exegetical methods, you know, the 13 Dvarim Saturn's Veshma, Kalachomer, Xer Shavu, all those things, that's a means of learning how they learn it like that. Okay, and he says, or they did echad dvarim shasum siagla Torah. They imposed this rule to protect Torah law. Don't eat chicken with milk because you may come to eat red meat with milk, right? And then he says, ulufima shasho svicha vehin agzeros hatakonos veha minhogos. So the Rambam seems to be going so far as to say that included in our obligation and the mitzvahs aseh and los aseh of listening up the Torah Sherucha and los aseh, the Rav los aseh, is following the early minhagim. That's a jump. I don't agree to that. Rambam and others disagree.
You're off minhagim.
What's that? Yeah. No, the Rambam writes minhagos. Right, but the Rambam throws in the word minhagim too. So that he said even that's included. So we have, my point is, we have quite a number of different sources who follow minhagim. Even to disagree. That's a big chiddush to say that included in los aseh is minhagim also. Okay, that's what Rambam seems to say. Now the truth is, just to look at a contemporary Tshuva 16, Charles of Tshuva's Tshuva's on Haggis, Moshe Sternberg, Krach Gimel, Achela Gimel, Simon Reish Gimel, talks about Arava and Oshana Rava. We all know, you know, if you look in the Torah, there's no difference between the seventh day of Sukkot and the sixth day of Sukkot, other than Karbonos are different. There's no special status of the day that we call Oshana Rava. There's nothing in the Torah that singles out this day as being in any way different than any other day. So we make a big fuss on Hoshana Rabbah. And we have many different practices. It becomes almost like a mini Yom Kippur, right? The Chazan with a kittel, and we have a longer Pesukah Dezimah, and a long davening, and so on and so forth. Huh? Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, other Shem Kippur, the longest davening, yeah. So, you know, and what he's talking about here, of course, Nohagu Yisrael, it's only a minig, Lachbot bo Shana Rabbah Sarabas ala Gabi Akarka. We bang the Arabas on the floor. Nobody says that in the Chumash anywhere, that on the last day of Sukkot you take the Arabas and you smack them on the floor. We do that. No, you saw it's a minig. Only a custom. Okay? They think, people think that's the real mitzvah of the day, and it's not. It's only a minig. The real mitzvah is to take the Arabah by itself, which we do also at one point. Okay? And hold it. All right. He goes into. Yeah, okay. So the Gemara calls in one place minig Nevi'im. Okay, but in any event, the Iker Mitzvah, the Minig Mevi'im would seem to be just taking it. And but he says, nonetheless, the banging is Zehu Minig Yisrael Dor Dor. It's a Minig Yisrael from generation to generation. And he writes, in Af She'enu Ela Minig HaNevi'im, just the Nevi'im did it. He's learning that not necessarily the Nevi'im established it. Everybody, that was there, some people did. He writes, look at the last two lines, Kevan She'nogu Kein Hayom Kol Yisrael. The whole Jewish world does this. Okay? Yesh Pazel Lo Soser. He, according to the Rambam, it now becomes, again, a Chiddush, becomes assumed on the Lo Soser, because Kemavu B'Rambam, Reish Perek Reis Amamr, the Minig Shenogu B'Koy So, Alim, it's strong, Ki Ilu Sanhedrin Tiknua. That's a big jump. But okay, that's a possibility, at least according to the Rambam. They do. I'm not saying they say the same, but basically, yeah. Okay? One other Pasuk in the Torah, the end of the Chumash, in Parsha Zazinu, Perkalam and Bezit, on Pasuk Zion. Zechor Yamos Olam Binu Shos Torvador, Sha'al Avicha V'yagein, Zekeinecha V'yomru Loch. Okay, so that too, some learn that's also a source for keeping her. Ask your father, your elders, and find out from them what you're supposed to do. The Ra'avan, but those who know, someone's going to be shown him, in Sukkah, talks about Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, okay, which is not originally Medina de Gemara. The Gemara does not speak about Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. It speaks about Hallel on Pesach, the first day. It speaks about Hallel on Shavuot. It speaks about Hallel on Sukkot and Hallel on Chanukah. But it doesn't say anything about Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. In fact, you remember, the Gemara says that when Rav, who grew up in Eretz Yisrael, came to Bavel, he walked in Shavuot Rosh Chodesh. He started saying, Hallel, what's this? He's going to stop him. What's going on here?
The night Erev Pesach.
That's a different story. It's quite early. It's in the Masechta Sofim. The Chassidim do it, and the Vilagon was in Van, the Sfaradim do it. Actually, most of the Litvish don't. So, and, whatever. But many shuls around here, the Rav Salavitch. The Rav Salavitch do it, yeah. It depends on the shul. Anyway, but that's a different story. But the Ravan says that we say Hallel with a Brocha. Okay? We're with a Brocha. And that already the Sfaradim don't do. The Sfaradim on Rosh Chodesh, say Hallel without a bracha. We Ashkenazim say with a bracha. Now, Rav wanted to stop it. He's like, what's going on here? Never heard of it before. But then he saw that they were skipping. They say what we call Chatzi Hallel. Chatzi, not really half. It's a lot more than half. But it's but we skip certain paragraphs. Fine. So he said then it was okay. But, exactly. So the that's the real name. So anyway, it's the Hach Kriya Minig, but it's a Minig. Okay, and he brings in Kevan the Minig of Asena and Kvinabu Shalabicha V'Yagencha. 2 lines in the Beit
Yisrael.
Well, it's not that makes the bracha okay. It mentioned that Rav understood that this isn't the real Hallel. Now, in fact, that really is a question that would take away from the bracha. So, and that's what the Sfaradim holds. The Rambam holds. The Ravan and Ashkenazi Rishonim say, nevertheless, since look, we write. It's exactly right. It says, Kevan, Deminig, Avaseinu, Ein, Kvinam, Ushal, Avich, V'Yageincha. Okay, and therefore you can make a bracha on it. Like he mentioned, the second day of Yom Tov. Second day of Yom Tov, originally, why do we keep 2 days of Yom Tov? Originally, because they weren't sure of the calendar and so on. But we're quite sure of the calendar today. Okay, we know when the first day of Pesach is, the same way that Eretz Yisrael, they know. You look on the fridge, the calendar, and it says it there. You know, there's no doubt about it. Okay, so the Gemara says, keep the old minhag. So it's also original, and we make all the brachas, we have a second Seder with bracha matzah, bracha mor, and
then,
on hollow, second day will, because you're not there to show. Chalamoy, they know. Chalamoy, they think. The second day, you don't have to study at the Kanadar Abana, it's originated in it. But let's say in Eretz Yisrael, the second day is already Chalamoy, they don't make it, bro. No, it's like Rosh Chodesh. All right, anyway, Rav Salavechik, the Kanadar Abana, oh, one of the things, so that's the Ravan, also saying from Shalavircha. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes in one place, 19, Aruch HaYim Sim Kuf Nun Siftes, at the end, V'atov V'enei Hashem, Shelo L'shanos Minak Avos. It's favorable in Hashem's eyes not to change customs of old. V'alzeh Nemar, Shalavircha V'yageitcha. And he also quotes that passage, Shalavircha V'yageitcha. Rav Salavechik, Kedarko, in his Rishim HaShiurim, Rav Eichmann put out, so in Brachas, Salam Gimel Adav, at the end of Brachas, he really says that Kedarko Vehine Yeshon Beis Gedarim Bedin Minig Yisrael Torah. There are two types of Minhagim. We have expression Minig Yisrael Torah or Minig Yisrael Din, Minig Yisrael Halacha. Takes on the status of a Din from the Torah in a certain sense. So that means it's important. There are two types of things, two types of Minhagim. Minig Shenikba Ide Horo Psak Bezin, a Minig which came about through a rabbinic decision, right? Well, that's based on the pasuk in our sedra, Vasisa Kolosh Yerucha, and that's what the Rambam is talking about. The rabbis instituted something, and therefore, as a custom, we have to follow it. And he mentioned along those lines is banging the Arava Rosh Hashanah Rabba, Hal on Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov Sheni, and then Beis Minag Shein Higu Klal Yisrael Baatzmon, Minag that had written Hagim and Hagim that originated with the people. It wasn't the rabbinic decree from the Sanhedrin. Minag Shein Higu Klal Yisrael Baatzmon. And that vokar is Sha'alavicha Vegecha, the Kenech of Yomaloch. The Chalbo Din Mesorah Shokai. So it's part of our Mesorah. Okay? And he said that two different din of the Mesorah. There's a Mesorah of, you know, to the Limurat Torah, and there's a Mesorah of Hanhaga. So that's what that's what the Rav's talking about. So,
family Minhagim.
Well, that's the Rav's talking about here. That's the Rav's talking about here. But it could even extend it to family Minhagim. I mean, the first category is sent by the rabbis, but community, does he mean the whole community? It could be a small community, it could be a family, theoretically. Okay, but anyway, that's what he talks about, based on a pasuk, Shema b'ni Musar v'chval t'tar t'mechri quote, that's the source of these types of minhagim. Okay. And it says it becomes part of our Masorah. He mentions that's why the Beis Halevi didn't want to accept the tchelis of the Radzina Rebbe, okay, because, you know, because he said you can't prove a tchelis based on rias, because something which is a mitzvah, we need a Masorah. And once the Masorah is lost, you know, then we can't just bring it back through some other external means, huh?
Turkey.
Through science and so on. Hey, eating turkey, right, it's in question. I told you this the one time.
Oh, sure.
In the tchelis factory, you know, I mean, my brother-in-law is one of the directors of the tchelis factory. There's a sign that says, you don't want to wear tchelis because there's no Masorah, but you eat turkey, even though there's no Masorah. Science is about a Missouri, use it wisely, something like that. You know. Anyway, so that's what the Rav Salvechik said. One other source for this concept of Minig Yisrael Torah, of Tzarek HaKon, of Tzarek Lublin, writes, is a Gemara Psachim, Samach Vav Medalev, source 21, a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara talks about one of those years when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos, which hasn't happened in a while, but it'll happen again, not that far off in the future. Remember, a few years back, it happened like 3 times in 8 years. Erev Pesach on Shabbos, a lot of halachic issues have come up. When do you burn the chametz? And you know, because Erev Pesach, what are you supposed to eat for lunch? Because you can't eat matzah anymore. You can't eat matzah, you can't eat chametz either. So we have to have everyone daven at 6:30. We have to have a meal early in the morning. Whatever, you remember, a few years back, right? So in the day, Beis HaMikdash was a further complication. When do you shech the Korban Pesach? The answer is, you're allowed to shech the Korban Pesach on Pesach. Yeah, but what about bringing the knives to the Beis HaMikdash? So you're supposed to bring the knives the day before, Friday. So the Gemara asked Hillel, 21, Pesachim Salvo Manal, Amr lo Rebbe, Shokach lo Hebi Sakim Erev Shabbos Mahu. What if a guy forgot to bring the knife on Erev Shabbos? Amr lahen, the answer, Allah Chazu Shamati V'Shachachti. I don't remember, I heard that, I don't remember. Hillel said, I don't remember what the din is. But don't worry about it. Ela Hanach lehen li Yisrael, im ein Nevi'in hein, b'nei Nevi'in hein. Jewish people, if they're not prophets, they're descendants of prophets. Meaning, what does it mean? I mean, let's see what people do. People remember. What's the tradition of Klal Yisrael? People remember what the meaning is in the past. Some of the old timers remember when this last time this happened. I don't remember exactly what the din was, Hillel said, but I will see tomorrow what everyone will do. Hanachon Yisrael, that's what Rashi says. B'nei Nevi Yenhein, V'tiru Mayasu. So sure enough, the next day of the Mochar, so anyone forgot their knife, so they would bring a sheep for the carbon pastor. They would put the knife like in the wool. So the sheep was like wearing it. And it came up with an eitzah to get the knife there. That was the point. Okay, very interesting. So, and then Hillel said, oh yeah, that's the din taka. He remembered when he saw it. So says Reb Tzadok in the pre-Tzadok on Rosh Hashanah 23, Ach minig Yisrael Torah, that's why minig Yisrael has the force of Torah. Sha'amu, that's that Gemara. Kamo Sha'amu, ein nevim, hein ben ein nevim. Armin Hagim have roots, it's rooted in something. Those who know Rav Soloveitchik always bent over backwards to try and figure out what this, even Minhagim that he disagreed with, even Minhagim that were not from his family. I got a famous example, the Sukkah, right? Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. The Rav felt very strongly, you must, that all the Chassidim don't sit in the Sukkah, maybe a Kiddush or something, in Shmini Atzeres morning, but most Chassidim do not sit in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. The Rav felt very strongly that that's the proper din, and really it's wrong, but he nevertheless came up with a number, since so many good, pious Jews have the practice, there must be a reason for it. There must be, it's not some. There must be a reason. I don't agree with it. And he gave a few suggestions as to why the practice is not, those people have the practice not being, and many things, not being a Sukkah Shmini, there are many things he did that, even though he didn't follow them at all. Minhagim, that's what it means. Ain't it right? But he had to justify the other meaning also, even though he felt strongly the other way. Okay. Just to finish up this point, okay, all this is the introduction. Okay, but I said we'll get to it. Okay, the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Yishach, Medrash Parsha Ayin Vav, Siman Dal 24. The Medrash says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is like the father of Yitzchak and not the father, the father of Yitzchak, the father of Yaakov, and not the father of Esav in a certain sense. Why? Because Ela Haboche B'Darcheim, Vahosek HaMaseim Ani Miskayim Olam. Somebody who follows father's practices, and then I'll be with them. But Misha Eino Boche B'Darcheim, Eino Hosek HaMaseim, Eino Miskayim Olam. I don't have anything to do with somebody who rejects the practice of the ancestors. And so, you put all these sources together, starting with the Pasuk in Har Sedra. I said that, you know, that's the connection to Har Sedra, that there's an importance of keeping Minhagim. So I'd like to look, as this year was entitled, what about this Minhag of reciting L'David Hashem Ori during the Yom Noraim season at the end of Shacharis and either Mincha or Maariv, the Din Minhagim, right? Well, where does it come from? So I said this year is going to be different than usual Shirim in a second way. Second way is ordinarily, as you know, we start with the Pasuk in Chumash, and then we see what the Mishnah and the Gemara say about it, and what the Rishonim say, and the Rambam, and the Shukroch, sometimes Chuvis, and sometimes Lomdish explanations behind it to figure out, you know. Here we're not going to do that tonight, and the reason we're not going to do that is because we can't do that. Okay, because this minig of saying L'David Hashem Ori, this practice, is not recorded anywhere in Shas. It's not in the Mishnah. It's not in the Gemara. There's no Tosefta about it. It's not in the Medrash Halacha or any other Medrash. It's not in the Masechah Sofrim, which sometimes has Minhagim, you know, that maybe the Gemara doesn't have. It's not in Masechah Sofrim. It's not in the Gaonim. Okay, it's not in any of the Shonen. There's no Tosa someplace that brings it up. The Rif doesn't quote it. The Rosh doesn't. It's not in the Rambam anywhere. And if you're wondering, it's not in the Zohar. Okay, it's just, and it's not in the Shulchan Aruch. Neither the Mechaber nor the Ramah bring down this practice. Okay, no one brings down the practice in terms of the classic early authorities. And even the early commentators of Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham, and the Taz on the side of the page don't quote it either. Okay, so where does this practice come from that we follow? Now, I say we follow, I mean most of us sitting here who come from Ashkenazic backgrounds. Okay, because as we'll see, the Sfardim, you know, the Bnei Edot HaMizrach, the Jews from North Africa, the Middle East, they do not say L'David Hashem Ori, specifically this time of year. The Vilna Gaon was not in favor of the practice. And among the Hasidim, there are different groups. Some Hasidim do say it. Some don't. The Sanze Hasidim do not say it. The Abde Hasidim don't say it. Those from Beis Rapshitz don't say it. The Hasidim do say it. They're different traditions. So I say I mean the most of us, the most of the shuls in our neighborhood, including this shul, including my shul, we do say L'David Hashem Ori, but there are different traditions. So why should you say it? Why should you not say it? Well, you know, what's it all about? As I said before, it's not anywhere in any of the earlier sources. But take a look at Source 26. The Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim Simon Tov Kuf Bei Aleph. That's the first Simon in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. See if Aleph Mechaber writes, Noagim lakum ba'ashmores lomar slichos etachnunim Rosh Chodesh Elo ve'elech ad Yom HaKippurim. The Chabad writes, it's the practice is to get up early in the morning and to start saying slichos every day early in the morning from the beginning of Elul. That's this past week. Okay, so the Sardim, who follow the Mechaber, already started saying slichos every day early in the morning. You can ponder for yourself whether that's worth the trade-off of being able to eat rice and corn on Pesach. I don't know. They got to get up early the whole month of Elul and say slichos. Okay, but that's their practice. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Hagad Ramah. That's not the Ashkenazi practice. We don't begin saying slichas at the beginning of Elul. Okay? We begin blowing shofar after shachris. That we do. That takes a time in order to get up so early. Okay? We blow shofar every day after shachris. Some people blow in the evening also. When do we start slichas? Ashkenazi says Elul. B'yom Aleph, Shlifnei Rosh Hashanah. The Sundays, Saturday night's last Sunday before Rosh Hashanah, or a year like this, in Chal Rosh Hashanah Beis or Gimel, if Rosh Hashanah is early in the week, like this year, it's a Sunday night, Monday, or it's Monday or Tuesday, then Oz Maschin Yom Aleph Shavu Shavu, we taught the previous Saturday night, Sunday, that's what it was this year. Okay, huh? Yeah, well, this year's good, right. So anyway, that's our practice. Notice, not a word about L'Dovin Hashem Ohri, not in the Mechaber, not in the Ramah. The Mishnah Brura in Sekhot and Beis mentions the following: but Noagim b'Medina Seinu Meresh Chodesh Elad Yom Kippurim Lo Lomar B'Chol Yom Acha Gemar Atfila Mizmor LeDavid Hashem. I printed the whole Mizmor. If you saw back in 25, I printed the whole text. I thought it's Shor Hashim Yerah, etc. Right? We all know it, but it's there. It's Tehillim Parakav Zayim. That's where it comes from. So the Mishnah Brura quotes that in our Medina, where I am in Radin and the surrounding areas, the minig is that we start saying L'Dovid Hashem Ori Bokev Erev, morning and evening. V'Omer Achav Kadi, we say Kaddish afterwards. Okay, and V'Aron Agelogim V'Omer Ad Shmini Atzeres V'Ad Bichlal. And our practice is say through Shmini Atzeres. I think by Chabad they say it's through Shana Rabba, not Shmini Atzeres. The Yek is also like that, but okay, slight variations. But that's the Mishnah Brura quotes. And they write that the days of Musaf, we say it before they come to Torah, like we said, the Shir Shayom, for those who follow that practice. And he discusses what happens in Rosh Chodesh, what comes first, Bochin Afshil, Dovid Hashem Ori, you know, because it's Tadir, so, well, which is Tadir? Because the truth is, in a certain sense, you know, Ladavid is more Tadir in a sense, you say it a lot more times than you say Bochin Afshil, if you count all the time you say. On the other hand, it's only one general season as opposed to. All right, anyway, that's not our topic now. But that's so the Mishnah Brura brings it down. Okay, the Mishnah Brura cites it. Okay, now Mishnah Brura is not the first. He's not the first. Mishnah Brura, you know, again in the early 1900s, you know, 100 years ago. So the Mishnah Brura is not the first.
He cites that there from Elul, Adyam, and then also, right.
He said, Armin against two. Right, correct. Now, he doesn't say where he gets him. He says Achronim. Very likely, the Mishnah Brura got this from the Matei Ephraim. I have a sheet at the end. You have to go. I say Ayin Bosof is 28. You have to look at the last page because those are things that, for whatever reason, are not in the Bar-Ilan computer. So I photocopied it for you. So look at the back page. It says Osof is the Matei Ephraim. The Matei Ephraim was written by, I don't know why this is not in there yet, but it should be. But Ephraim Zalman Margolios, who was lived in the 1800s, well before the Mishnah Brura. I think one of the Rebbeim, I think of the Chassam Sofer. Anyway, the Matei Ephraim has a collection that I have to all the way in the back, the photocopy part. So the Matei, the left sheet. So, first side. So the Matei Ephraim writes, it's on the top of the page. So the Matei Ephraim is a collection of halachas of Rosh Yom Kippur, and also the first Siman Hilchos, following the order of the Shulchan Aruch, first Siman Hilchos Sukkah. And the Mishnah Brura quotes the Matei Ephraim quite often throughout Hilchos Yom Noraim. Kind of an important sefer of halachim and halachim. So he writes, in the Matei Ephraim, in the same siman, Tavkuf Pei Aleph as well, Noagim b'medilos elu b'Rosh Chodesh elu b'elech ad Yom Kippur lo m'chol yom achar gmar tila mizmor chav zayin b'til l'dovar asher orav yishi boker v'erev omer achar kadosh yosem v'ara noagim l'omar shmei atzeres. The Lashon is almost, it's not quite verbatim, but it's very similar, and it's probably the Mishnah Brura got it from. It's almost what it's saying. He always says, the minute he mentions, like you said, Shad Rosh Chodesh Yom Kippur, and he said, but we do it until shmei atzeres, the ad b'chon kudosh shmei atzeres, okay? And when did he do it? It was almost the same thing. And what's that? Where did he live? I don't know where in Europe exactly. Brody, I think? I don't know. Robert Brody, I think. Anyway, so Matei Ephraim quotes that, and that's in the 1800s already. Now, neither the Mishnah Brura nor the Matei Ephraim said why we do it. They quote it, we do it. The minute it is to say, Perak Chav Zayin and Tillim, Dovid Hashem Ori, didn't say why. So there's commentaries inside of the page in the Matei Ephraim. So in 29, right here on the same page, Elaf Lamate, L'dor Hashem argues, Sod Haminig Al Pi Medrash Shochar Tov. Okay, the Medrash in Tehillim is called Medrash Shochar Tov. Those are the opening words. So the Shochar Tov. Okay, Ori Barash Hashanah, the Yishu Biyom HaKippurim. The word Ori, Hashem is my light, refers to Rosh Hashanah, and Hashem Yishi, my salvation, refers to Yom Kippur. So at least there's a connection here to Rosh Yom Kippur. It doesn't tell us why we started Rosh Elul. I mean, you know, but okay, at least there's some connection to Yom Kippur. And then, he says, later on, Racharkach and Pasakeh, when I look back, you see, it says, Ki Tzmeneni B'suko. So that's a reference to Sukkot. That's what Sukkot. And the source says, Tzeyamate, says, in Sukkot Yud Gimel, he says, take a look, Ayin Al Flamata, Al Pi Amed Shochet Tov, and he quotes some other source I'm going to show you inside. Okay, so we don't have to see it. But he writes at the very end, V'ikar La'omer B'Kavona Shlema. The issue is to say this with Kavona, V'lo Kimitzas HaNashim L'umdo. Not like, you know, by rote, automatically we zip through because we want to get out of shul. Okay, matter of fact, the Sklera Chasidim say L'Dover Hashem, they say it after Tachlan. Not at the very end of the day, at the end of Tzul, it's the end of the time. Anyway, I just point out also, in the text of the Matei Ephraim, he says to say it after Mincha, in Sukkot and Tetzvav, the Tzeh Matei, Yesh Mekom and Agog Omachat Tzilis Arvid. That's the most standard Ashkenazi, after Marv, you down in the place that I'm Mincha. Okay. Anyway, go back to the regular sources now. So there we have a source which is earlier, okay? Again, it's not going back that far, but the Matei Ephraim has this practice, okay? If you look at the bottom of page 31, there's that Medrash Tillim. And the Mizmor Chav Zayin, it was Dalad, Rabbanan Pasvi Kwa B'Rosh Hashanah V'Yom HaKippurim, Ori B'Rosh Hashanah Shem Adin, Shem V'Hotzi Ka'or Tzinkecha, Mishpatecha Tzorayim, V'Yishu V'Yom HaKippurim, Shem Shem V'Chol Anon Kol Moseno. The Medrash says nothing about Kitzmir B'Sukkot. That, it looks like the Matei Ephraim, or someone else added on. The Medrash, you look at the Medrash in Tillim, it does not quote the reference to Sukkot. The problem is, it's a little difficult to say that that's the source, because notice that that's the first pasuk, Davar Hashem Ori, and that is Os Dalad, 31 Os Dalad in the Medrash. The first three Os have many other different things with the words Ori and Yishi refer to. So Ori and Yishi referring respectively to Hashem Kippur is only one of numerous different interpretations. So, okay, you found the remez somehow to Hashem Kippur. It's a little bit of a flimsy reason in a certain sense. I'm okay. Why we maybe I can say it on Rosh Hashanah. What the whole Chodesh Elul, and because it's a reference to Yom Kippur, okay, maybe, but it's a reference to Yom Kippur according to one of many interpretations, one of several interpretations, Rabbi Yishi. But okay, that's what it says in the Matei Ephraim. You look in Surah 32, I'm not going to hold inside, that's the Panim Yafos. That's Rabbi Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, a flaw, his parish on the Chumash, also Rabbi Nachsam Sofer, a little earlier. Okay, so we're going back in time, so it's a little early, really in the 1700s, later 1700s. The Panim Yafos, he writes in his parish on the Chumash, in Parshas Achrimos, Parak Tezayin, Posek Lamed, the famous Posek, Ki V'yom Hazeh Chaper Lechem, right, that's the laning for Yom Kippur. He writes, V'hine Nogu, by his time already also, V'hine Nogu Lomer, Menosh Chodesh Elul, Ad L'achar Sukkos, Mizmor Chav Zayin, and he has a different answer. He says, Shamati Hatam, V'pnei Sheyesh Bo Yud Gimel Shemos. You can count. That's why I printed it back in source 25. Count it yourself. The name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is mentioned 13 times in the Mizrach LaDavar Hashem Ori. Sheher Shemus Havaya, Keneged Yud Gimel Midas. This is the time of year, you know, Elul, Hashem Kippur, we keep calling Hashem Hashem Kel Racham V'Chanun. That's one of the themes, the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. So since this capital, Chav Zayin has 13 times the name of Hashem corresponding to the 13 midos. So that's another reason, okay? And then he has a whole bunch of different Jewish reasons and many, many darshanim. He has other things. Again, he also talks about the Or of Rosh Hashanah and Yeshua of Yom Kippur and so on and explains why. And then we got the Luchos Shnius of Yom Kippur and he has many different, and he has the words somehow Ori and Yishi add up somehow to Taryag and various other references and gematrias he has. You have time you want to read through as many different interpretations. Okay. Again, Al Derech HaJewish, which will explain why we say L'Davar Hashem Ori. So that is another practice. Again, now coming into, you know, we're back to the 1700s. I mentioned before that the Vilna Gaon was not in favor of the practice. Look at 33. Sefer Maisa Rav, which is a collection of the Minhagim of the Vilna Gaon, in Os Nun Gimel, he says, Ach Reino Aleinu Shir Shayom V'Kadosh Yosom. He's talking about the daily davening. So the Gaon, they write, after Aleinu and the Shir Shayom, we say Kadosh, the Ein Laharbos V'Kadeshim Yolotzorach. That's another thing, not supposed to have too many Kadeshim, fine. The Ein Omrim Shum Mizmor Zula Shir Shayom. Should not say any kapitlach telem at the end of davening other than the regular shir shayom, below shir yichur, below shir kovid, except on yontif. I mean, it doesn't even say Shabbos, it says yontif. Okay. And gam meirash chodesh el ad yom kippurim ein omrim kapitl chavzayim. So the Maaser Rav, so in the Gimel, Osnan Gimel, he writes, Rosh Chodesh el kippur, my opinion, he says, is we don't say Chapter 27, L'davar Hashem Ori. So he was also not in favor of it. Now, but if you write, you don't say it, what does that show? That there were people who said it, right? The Vilna Gaon in the 1700s is writing, it's not proper to say L'davar Hashem Ori. That means there were people doing it. I mean, he doesn't say it's not proper to recite Tilim Parkov Kufay. Well, nobody does, right? So obviously he's writing it because that was... obviously, writing it, you know, because there were doubters. Again, we, as far back as the 1700s, when the Vilna Gaon was around, people were saying it. Now, contemporary, more or less, the Vilna Gaon was the Chidor, okay, the great Sardi Posek. So listen what he writes in the Chidor, two different swarm. One is Mukhod Morib Etzba, in Simon Bey's Os Lamed Zion 34. Minag Tov, here he does bring it also. It's a good meaning, he says. Loma Acha Kol Tfila Mizma Ladavar Hashem Arvishi Ubiprat. Right? He's saying it's a good thing to say, you know when? Every day. Every day. And guess what? There is Sardim today who say L'David, I spoke to him yesterday morning here in Seoul. Okay, who say L'David Hashem Ori, and printed in Sardim Shizdurim, not limited to this time of year. And he says they say it every day after Shacharis. This person, when they leave Shul, the last thing they say, not just Hashem, from Rosh Chodesh El till Sukkot, every day. And that's and what in the, another sefer is called Sansin Liyar Nuschei Tfilas Osir Beis. It's somehow I don't know mystically Lahatzlocha L'Shmira, you know, for protection for Hatzlocha. Yomar Mizmo Davar Hashem Arav Yishi Kulo Achar Kol Tfilah. Now Shmona Esrei, every time after Shmona Esrei. Maybe that's why the Skar do it after Tachan. I don't know.
Yes, right, the beginning words of Davar Hashem Arav Yishi. I like the beginning. It fits.
Yeah, the tefillah. Yeah, calling out to Hashem. Anyway, he says, "Merish Chodesh Elavas Yukir V'Chein B'Roshan Rabbah V'Chein Hu Mina Biar Chodesh Chevron Shashatz Omer Achar Osa Achar Alan Shmeiach V'Korom U'Matov LaOmro Kol Hashana." He writes, "It's a good thing to say all year." Okay. Anyway, so that's the practice. I said before, that's what the Sardim do. So at least now we have, going back to the 1700s already, a couple hundred years ago already, you know, practice, not more than 300 years, rather, since it became a practice. And we understand why it is recited in many communities. Somehow the minhag developed. Now, and for whatever reason, either it's because Ori Rosh Hashanah and Yishim Kippur, or because all the flaws, answers, and Panayofos, Yud Gimel, times in the name of Hashem, Yud Gimel Midos is the time of year. Okay. Why shouldn't you say it? Why did some people not say it? So the Vilna Gaon was against adding any mizmor. He said, don't say any mizmor at the end of davening other than the Shir Shayom. As a matter of fact, the Vilna Gaon points out there are different Shir Shayoms for different occasions other than what we say. For example, on Rosh Chodesh, he said you only Barchi Nafshi, not the Tuesday and Barchi Nafshi. Right? The Vilna Gaon, he said one mizmor at the end. And he had for Pesach a different one. It's printed in some sort of everyone has a different mizmor. And you don't, when there's another mizmor to say, then don't say the one for, you know, that day of the week. Okay, so that's the Vilna Gaon. But we have to understand why others don't. So if you look at the photocopy sheets again, in the Sefer, let's say 36, I remember it, Otsar HaChaim, Minhagei Sanz, Chaim of Sanz. Okay, so the Halberstam, you know, the Chaim Halberstam is the Sanz of Rav, so the Satna come from there, and Bob Klausenberg, right, here in Union City, they all come. So, Minhagei Sanz, Os Reish Chavav, Rabbeinu Lo Haya Omer LeDavid Ori Be'elo. Say why? It says Rabbi, the great Chaim Hassan, the founder of that dynasty, did not say LeDavid Hashem Ori during Elul. Doesn't say why. So we look at 30. Huh?
No, it's Sanzer. My father is.
Sanzer? Okay, well, it says here not to. So I don't know if you follow, but in the Sanzer base, man, you say no. So take a look now. You're talking to Klausenberg. So source 37, Charles the Chuba is Divrei Yatzim, that's the Klausenberg Rebbe. Not the current one, the one, you know. the Klausenberg Rebbe was in the camps. In fact, he lost his wife and I think 10 children, or maybe more, were all wiped out. He survived, and he remarried when he came in and established a new family and so on. So he's known as the Klausenberg Rebbe. He was here in Union City, and they still have a best friend in Union City. Anyway, so Klausenberg Rebbe in the Shabbos Shuvah is Divrei Yatzir, Likutim Hashmosa Simen Yud Tes. He writes, Hine Mudah Zil Shekpei De Gedola, Hayat Eitho Al Sein HaKadoshin, Sifus Yonim, I remember, Al-Khoi Yisrof, Shalom L'Chadesh Ulaho Siv Dova Al-Makub Al-Anam Yidor Dor. The Chaim Sanzer also did not want to add on new practices that weren't part of our tradition for all generations. In other words, he didn't like the idea of adding something new. Again, it goes back to the 1700s at least, that's what we've seen so far. Okay, but Chaim Sanzer didn't want to add things. Okay, Ukiyadua, Lo Omar Adoni Yavi Zikni, my great grandfather and sons, Zichusi Aranleinu, Mizmo Adon Hashem Aruch Harosh Elo, V'tama B'nimik Imo, She'ena Osa Shum Dover B'limokko B'shas Supposing and something. There's no, as I said before, there's no mokko and shas. It's not anything we've shown him, not the Ram, not the Shom Aruch, and therefore the Chaim Sanzer didn't want to add it on. Okay, so we don't do it. Or the Kisei Arizal either. Huh?
So he wouldn't accept any kind of minhagim.
Not with tefillah. Right. And he says, even though he says brought in very fine Sfarim, and it's a beautiful mizmor, and it was written by David HaMelech, I mean, you know, but he said, nevertheless, he didn't want to do it, and certainly you shouldn't add other things, he said. Okay, and there were many Kol Yisrael who did it, but he was opposed to it. Okay, look at the end line there. Anu einanu betfilas hatzibur elamashi yastu anshei kasagdola. When it comes to davening, we do it to anshei kasagdola. There's another tshuva about it, written in Kiryat Tzar today in Israel, 38, Likutim Hashmotos Simon Nun Beis. Okay, title Amir Sadar Shemar Uchadosh El. Again, he writes, our Rabbeinu Baal Divrei Chaim, his sons didn't say it. Again, basically, says the same reason. Even though there's some Sidurim that do have it, he said the Siddur of Arizal has it, but it's not good. Arizal himself did it. And there are nice reasons for it, but basically, says the same thing. Second paragraph. You know, we have less patience nowadays. I don't know what he said today. Okay, he had less patience nowadays. V'chol tefilo seinu rak misofa l'chutz. Our tefillahs are just what we spit out of our mouth. We don't think about it. You know, we run through it and so on and so forth. Okay. He says, the Moshe Levi Sassiv, one of the great Hasidic masters also. He says, if I can only concentrate on 100 brachas a day and so on, and today it's even less. And at the end, he says, look, if someone wants to say the Hashem, go ahead. He says, I have enough trouble with Kriyat Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. You know, the things you have to say. That's what he says. And we told him not to pick up on him. The difficulty is we do know, factually, that the Chassidim and others did do. Many Chassidim do add on different Tchinas and Tfilas. You know, it's hard to say, again, as the Klausenberg Rebbe, who's a descendant of the Chaim Sanzer, to defend the Sanzer minhag. But again, there's another reason suggested. And here, I initially heard this from in a talk by Rabbi Schneur Lyman, Shlita Rabbi Dr. Schneur Lyman, who was a great Talmud Chacham and also a great professor of history. He spoke about this once, and it's available, you can listen to it. He does thorough research into Svarim and what, you know. And I saw many of his makaris abroad that he cited, but he's the one who sent me initially looking into these sources. He's Lyman, those known, you know, is, I think was described once by Roy Wine as an expert in all things Jewish, and it's true. And those, even the minutia of anyway. There is a sefer. Okay, so look at on the photocop page now. The next two sources, 39, called Chemdas Yamim. Chemdas Yamim is of unknown authorship. Okay, it was published in the 1730s. Okay, and in Chelek Gimel, Chodesh El Rosh Hashanah, Parag Dalet, Os Yud Aleph, he mentions about saying Mizmor Chav Zayin, not necessarily in davening, but he mentioned during this time of year, perhaps part of Slichus or some Anochi Nahagdi Mizmor Chav Zayin Adavad Hashem Arav Yishi. And he seems to be the first person who brings up to say it, especially this time of year. Okay, and this Sefer published early in the 1730s. The problem is that the Sefer Chemdas Yamim was called, it became somewhat controversial because he has some piyutim there. And he has a lot of Musar and Tchinas and Tfilas and things, some of which he composed, but some of others composed. And there are a couple of piyutim, I think two for Pesach and one for Shavuos that he prints, where the acrostic indicating the author's name seems to be Nosson Binyamin Ben Elisha Chaim, who was the so-called Nathan of Gaza, Nosan Ha'azasi, who was the false prophet of Shabtai Tzvi. He was the follower and the prophet, so to speak, Shabtai Tzvi, the false Messiah, and his followers, the so-called Sabbateans, sometimes, so this Nosan Hanavi, not the Nosan Hanavi from Navi, but this Nathan of Gaza, Nosan Ha'azasi, so there are those who think, oh, the author, the Chem V'Shamim, might be him, okay, or might be someone who was under his influence, and therefore anything in the Sefer Chem V'Shamim, trace. Okay, and that seems to be the reason why in some Hasidic circles, they did not say L'davar Hashem Ori, because it was assumed that it came from this Sefer Chem V'Shamim, was the first one to mention it, and since perhaps the author of the Sefer Chem V'Shamim, now it's known through research that it's not really necessarily, it's not exactly the right name, it's not a reference to Nosan Ha'azasi, Nathan of Gaza, and we, even though we don't know who the author of Chem V'Shamim is, but later scholars have figured out that it was not, but nonetheless, that's how the practice developed in some Hasidic circles, not to say it. But the truth is, it's not even the first source, Taka, for this meeting. There's a Sefer, source number 40, called Shem Tov Cotton for Binyamin Benish HaKohen. Now, he was also Talmud Chacham, also Mekubal, and so on. And he printed the Sefer. I took it out of the YU library. None of these are in the Bar Ilan. But some of the sources I mentioned before, if you look back at that on top of the page, same page of 30, the Kseh Amateh quotes this, the Sefer Shem Tov Cotton. Okay? Shem Tov Cotton, he writes, on Hagos Adin Matfilos Kedos Ramar Shkodesh Eloyim Noroim, I'm talking Derech Potsu Kohen, he has a list of Tfilos. Helecha Sod Godo, Kol HaOmer, listen to this one, Kol HaOmer Mizmor Zeh, Ramar Shkodesh Eloy Ad Achas Simchus Torah, that's he writes, Afilu Gzeira Ra Ksuv Al Adam In HaShemayim, Yichol HaLavatla. You say this Mizmor, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pass a bid, the Kli Rachon HaSan against you, Kivavato. Kol Gzeiros Ra'os Akashos. Okay, you'll come out winning in the court. He says, and so on and so forth. See, all the Mekatrigim will go away. So, on some level, this Kapitel Chav Zayin, according to this Sefer Shem Tov Cotton, was written before the Chem V'Shamim. Okay, by somebody who was under no suspicion whatsoever of anything to do with Shabtai Tzvi or Nosan of Gaza, Nathan of Gaza. So he said, this is a kosher Sefer, and he has this tradition to say this Mizmah twice a day. It's all kinds of. And he gives the reason. Hatan, Kodesh Kodesh El, Niftach, Yud Gimel, 13 paths of reaching a Kodesh Baruch Hu open, and Yud Gimel Midas, and here you have 13 times the name of Hashem. So it's a wonderful thing to say to bring about. That's enough for me, right? We can do that. You look also on the next page, Sefer Zechira, Vizchayr Simner, in Yom Yom and Noroim, also brings so Gadol, Ha'omim Mizrach HaZam, Rish Chodesh, Elad Achar, Simchus Torah, Erev Avoker, Azai Hu Muvtach, to clear it, that's what I printed, Azai Hu Muvtach, Sheyotzi Yom HaVishos HaBetov, Umavir Kolam HaKatrigim. That was also, that's in 1709, before this Chem V'Shamim Sefer. So, the first decade of the 1700s already, you have these people writing about the importance of L'davar Hashem Ori. Now, full disclosure, look at 42, that's a tshuva from Divrei Moshe, Halberstam, from the Halberstam family. He died not that long ago. In his tshuva, Simon Lama Dalin, he writes, many good svarim say it, Baram, Mikublami Beis Avosai, my tradition from my family is, since it comes from the Sefer Chem V'Shamim, therefore, we don't say it. That's why the sons. Now, the sons of it may not have been known of it. They may not have known about these other svarim, but he knew about Chem V'Shamim, and then Divrei Moshe, great grandson, whatever, says that's why my Elta Zeta didn't recite it. Chaim Sande didn't recite it because it comes from the Sefer Divrei Chem V'Shamim, and therefore I don't like it. And so on. You can read here, and he says the Chose of Lublin. A great, we introduced Poland and Hasidus in that part of Poland, right? He said, the great Chose of Lublin didn't say it. The Chain Talmidim HaKadosh, HaYehudi HaKadosh, the Yir HaKadosh, the so-called Yir HaKadosh. These are Gedolim in the Hasidic world. The Chose of Lublin, the Yir HaKadosh, okay? Rabbeinu Zikna HaKadosh Mizidichov, Okay, the Rav Shitz, the Rabbi, and so on. So many of the great Talmidei Chachamim in the Chassidic world didn't say it. Why? And we heard a tradition going back to the Yad HaKadosh because it comes from the Sefer Chemdes Yomim and so on. Okay? And those who do say it probably didn't know where it came from. Well, that's what he says. And I think it came from the Arizal, but it's not really true. It's from the Arizal. Anyway, in the back, the second paragraph, but it appears in earlier Sorum. Shem Tov Katan, we just saw, say, other, it appears in earlier Sorum. So he said, nevertheless, it's mentioned in those Sorum, but but the first one who made it like a public thing was kind of the others said maybe say it privately, they never said to say it in shul, and to make it a firm minute. Anyway, so that's why some people don't say it. Let me just finish off with one fascinating story in 43. Sefer is called Nezar Kodesh Minhagei Beis Rupshitz. And the very end, I'll tell you what I think. But why we want this is another reason I'll be Jewish, why they say it. Minhagei Beis Rupshitz, Minhagei Kodesh El, in the footnotes, Mitzotzah Kodesh Osir Aleph. He says, a little strange, okay, that they bring down the Eitzah Rabbeinu Mitzan Zohar Amar L'Dovar Hashem Ar. The Sam Zohar didn't say it. Okay? Keminig Rabba Arav HaKadosh Rav Shitz. Fine. Avar Rabbeinu Mishinava Achein Omra. The Shinava, the Chizkel of Shinava, he was the son of the Divrei Chaim. And he did say it. The Divrei Chaim of Sam, they don't say it. But Shinava do say it. Okay? And, you know, what's going on? Well, what happened here exactly? You know, and then the good reasons to say it, but you know, so he tells a story, the second paragraph, the fascinating story, and I'm not weighing in on how you understand the story. It's a mystical story, but we'll end with this before I just say one thing. He said, Vesipa Rachasa Moshe David Strum, Neriomi Tarno, Tarno is a sitting poem, Shepam, boy, now there's a story being told in the 20th century, okay, by Rav Shimon Mizelechov. Shimon Mizelechov was he was the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin, which was founded by Rav Meir Shapiro. The building's still there. It was there this summer. Okay? But the Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin was a famous Yeshiva, Rav Meir Shapiro, also founded the Daf Yomi concept. So he is the Mashgiach there for a while. Was this Rav Shimon Mizelechov, a big Talmud Chacham. So tell us, I'll say a part of it, because you look at that. He once went to the Beis Medrash of Rav Aryeh Leibush Mitzan. That's the son of the, grandson, from a different son of the sons of Rav. His grandson. Who had the Beis Medrash and son of Rav Aaron and son. V'sharles ha'breichem, and he asked the Talmud there, v'ema ein rabbeinam of Aryeh Leib mitzan z'omel l'davar ha'shem ori, v'shinev v'omrim. The uncle of this Rebbe, Rav Aryeh Leib, was the grandson of the Divrei Chaim. So his uncle, Shinev, Cheskel Shinev, in his Beis Medrash, they do say, here they don't say, what's going on? V'lo himtin l'tshuv, he didn't wait for them to answer, because he knew they didn't know the answer. Okay, he was peppering them, you know. He told the following, Aniya Saper Lachem Maisha Shahoya. Okay. Again, I'm taking no responsibility for how I understand this. But you're right, listen to this. Pam Bimei, and then we'll finish up. Pam Bimei Rabbi Elio Baal Shem. In the days of, that's not the Baal Shem, Rabbi Elio Baal Shem was a Rav in Chelm. Okay, now Chelm is a city today in the easternmost part of Poland. You know, it's known in Jewish folklore as a town of fools, but it wasn't. It wasn't really. Chelm was a nice Jewish city, and Talmidei Chacham lived in Chelm, okay, despite all the jokes. So this Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem lived in the 1500s, now back to the 1500s. And he was a Tanakh, he was the great-grandfather of the Chacham Tzvi, came from his descendants. Anyway, here's what happened. Pam Mimir Eliyahu Baal Shem ha'yegzeira sh'hamoshel lo ha'yolabonim. The Poris, the leader of the Goyish nobleman or whatever there, in that part of Poland, didn't have any children. And he asked the Jews, insisted that the Jews have to daven, that his wife should have a baby. And he said, if I don't have a baby, then I'm going to throw all the Jews out. I'm going to have an expulsion of all the Jews. So, B'leo Baal Shem, okay, so Muchan Larak Tzav Girish, I'll call you them. Ubar B'leo Baal Shem, Amal Apar Shilo Ben Liud Beis Chodesh. So, B'leo Baal Shem came forward and he said, you'll have a child in 12 months. Okay, well now he's got to make sense. Yeah, he's got to deliver. Okay, so about this, so later on the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Baal Shem Tov who lived in the 1700s, if you saw Baal Shem Tov, right, the best told this story, and he said that this Abelio first went Letzara Kedusha, meaning he davened and he appealed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on, the low poly, it wasn't working. Kosh Baruch Hu said no. Okay, well, if at first you don't succeed. So, V'achar kach letzara tumah, hasitra achra. So then he started going through, went over to the dark side, so to speak, and he started trying to make this happen through, however you understand what he did with the dark atuma. And it didn't work either. Ad shepol al zos imasitra achor ba'atzmo. Till he arranged a meeting with the devil himself, so to speak, the sitra achor himself. And he said, this is what I want, and he made a deal with the devil. Okay, and basically the deal was, you know, arrange that this man should have a baby, so the Jews will be saved, and I'll give up not only my life, but all of my blood, everything. I'm done. My ruach, neshama, everything. So the Baal Shem Tov, see him as the rest of it is in Yiddish. So I'll say, the rest of the last 10 lines are in Yiddish. He said, the Baal Shem Tov said, don't think this was a simple thing, okay, and don't think he was punished or cursed for this. He wasn't, okay. Because at the end, up in Shammai, they said, look, he was willing to do this to save, to save the Jewish people, you know, from the untold hardships and so on. So we're not going to take away his whole Olam Habo. But, so it says, we're going to do away with two tefillos that he instituted. That's what it says here. Okay, Hotman and Himmel goes again as Mizom Vatos on Zwe tefillos was Ermesakin given. Two tefillos that he... The Echor Hule Dover Hashem Ori. So according to this story, he was the one who instituted Dover Hashem Ori. And by the way, the Echor Kigavna. And the other one is Kigavna, that in Nusach Sfar they say by instead of Bememelikin before Mariv, after Kabbalah, after Lachadodi. Kigavna. He's one, it comes from the Zohar, Kigavna. He didn't write it, but he instituted this should be said. And he said, therefore, the best HaKadosh answered that that's why, so that wasn't totally done. They took away those two tefillos. Some communities stopped saying the Dover Hashem Ori, and some communities stopped saying Gigavna. So that both tefillos were done away with partially. So that's what he says. It was known, Rebbe Elimelech, Noam Elimelech didn't say Gigavna. And their Abderov didn't say the Dover Hashem Ori. So that's why, in some, according to the story, that's why in some Hasidic communities they don't say Gigavna. Other Hasidic communities don't say the Dover Hashem Ori. Okay? But it's a fascinating story, whatever you make of it. Again, it's not a primary source. The stories were told over by someone living in the 20th century. But it's talking about what Nogea to us is that now, even if the story is not exactly true, but it's how we understand what he did mystically, but it says that the Dover Hashem Ori was composed in the 1500s. And that means by now it's over 500 years old. So that's already an old minig. I'll just end by pointing out. It's interesting. I don't have a good answer for that. I'll come on a little bit later. Yeah. Okay. Right. But maybe it wasn't popular, but at least it was. Well, I'll just end by saying the very last message. I'll finish up in a minute. Okay. The very end of this, just point out the last pasuk. Kavel Hashem, this is my own suggestion, perhaps. Kavel Hashem, Chazak, Kavel Hashem. More says in Brachas, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. Amr Chama, Brav Chanina, Imra, Adam, Shispala, Velo Nene, Yachzor, Yispala. Okay. If you daven and you see your tefillos weren't answered, daven again. Don't give up. Shenemar, kavel Hashem, chazik v'shamer, the kavel Hashem again. Daven again. Doesn't work the first time. Daven again. Kavel Hashem twice. Tanar bonan. Arbo tzichim chizik. Certain things need chizik. Torah, ma'isim tovim, tefillin derech, tefillin minayim. Shenemar, kavel Hashem, chazik v'shamer, kavel Hashem. As Rashi said, kavel v'shazik. Okay, hope more. Right, daven. So I just want to suggest, Al Derech HaDrusha, at least that's why we say it this time, because this is a time of tefillah. So we, at the end of davening, I realize, wait a minute, my davening maybe didn't work. Okay, so Kavel Hashem, don't abandon hope. Be ready to daven again, right? That's the idea of this mizmor. We daven Hashem Ori during the season when we're trying to intensify our tefillahs. So at the end of tefillah, we basically say, I'm not really done. There's more. I don't give up yet. I'm daven again. I'm going to continue to hope. Maybe that's why we say Dover Hashem Ori. But whatever the reason is, it seems we've practiced several centuries, maybe even 500 years old, according to that story. But again, those people don't say it, different possible reasons. But now at least you have some insight into the origins of Dover Hashem Ori. Okay.